Welcome to the special report. I'm Mike Adams, and of course, July 4th is coming up. What is it? Is it Friday? Yeah, my goodness. Happy Independence Day, everybody. It's right around the corner. And July 5th, there's another big prophecy that has been predicted for July 5th. I want to tell you about both of these warnings. And I just want to say up front, I'm not agreeing with these warnings. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with them either. I'm just saying, you know, put this in your sort of data stack. Like, hey, this is a data point. Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? Well, either way, this is what the culture is thinking about right now. And there is a phenomenon in our world where if enough people believe something, they make it real. That's absolutely true. So that's why I'm not saying that for sure this is going to happen. I don't want to make these events real. I hope they don't happen, but I do want you to be aware of what they are. So first, let's talk about July 4th, because Dr. David Martin, who I interviewed a couple of years ago, and he was recently interviewed on Man in America with Seth Holthouse, he is warning about what he believes may be some kind of effort to kill hundreds of thousands of Americans using biological weapons this Friday. So I want to play a part of that video for you. Again, I'm not saying that I agree with this. I don't agree or disagree. It's just data. So let's hear what Dr. David Martin, who is a very sharp man, by the way, let's see what he has to say about this. Check this out.
And we sit back in this stunned mullet silence of going, clearly they're not going to do it again. Well, bad news for everybody. Tom Ridge, that's right, the Secretary of Homeland Security, when it was first established under the Bush administration, collaborated with a group of people to come up with a scenario in which they are calling for, and listen carefully to what I'm going to say, the death of 280,000 Americans on July 4th, 2025. In 1 month from today, there is a plan that involves the murder of 280,000 Americans on a single day. And the best part of it is they're going to blame a foreign actor for it, except for a tiny little problem. Yeah, if you hop down to page 9 of that National Blueprint for Biodefense, Seth, and highlight the first major paragraph under the U.S. House of Representatives, let's go ahead, for the sake of everybody on here, make sure that we read it. We were attacked, and we don't know who did the attack. But the infectious agent they used killed 280,000 Americans and infected at least 400,000 throughout the country on a single day, in addition to 200,000 dead and 800,000 sickened animals. Now, if you scroll up for a moment, Seth, and keep going until I tell you to stop. Just keep scrolling. Scroll up, scroll up, scroll up. What you're going to find when you get to this page, oh, there you go. Look at ex officio members. If you look at the ex officio members of this particular committee, there are two names that I want to call your attention to. Gerald W. Parker and George Post. Those names are names that people should be familiar with, but they are not. These are veterinary scientists and gain-of-function scientists who have done an enormous amount of work in a variety of pathogens. George Post famously was very much involved in the Arizona contribution to the gain-of-function research that brought us COVID-19 and all of those kinds of things. And here we have the same actors. In this case, we have the ability to go into their research and find out what kind of pathogen would go after humans and animals on the same day. How do we figure out what that is? And it turns out that there are a bunch of options. Nipah virus is what they refer to in this scenario, but equine encephalitis, which is a huge, huge, huge gain of function problem, is something that these guys have been familiar with. And there are several other pathogens that these guys have been working with. And the fact is that they're telling us that on July 4th, on the celebration of the 249th year of America in its formation, we are going to allegedly have a biological weapons attack. And do you realize, Seth, that not a single person in law enforcement, not a single person in the White House, not Bobby Kennedy at HHS, not a Tulsi Gabbard at the DNI, not a single person is actually taking an action to interdict the actors that I'm talking about? This is not a problem that happened during the Biden non-presidency. This is a thing that is a statement of intent to once again take advantage of human dynamics.
So what Dr. David Martin is referring to here is a document outlining a plot to attack Americans on July 4th with biological weapons and then to blame it on a foreign nation. Now, right now, given the current geopolitic, which foreign nation would America, or let's say, would the Trump administration or those who are controlling the Trump administration, which foreign nation do they want to blame the most right now? And I believe the answer is very clear. It's Iran. See, we had the so-called 12-day war in the Middle East, right? And as I covered yesterday, Iran had launched just an extraordinary barrage of highly devastating ballistic missiles that destroyed so many targets in Israel. In fact, I was citing a story by Mike Whitney at the UNS review or UNZ review, and he listed, 13 different targets that were partially or fully destroyed by Iran, including a fuel refinery in Haifa, the Amman military intelligence headquarters, the Israeli Pentagon, the Kirya military intelligence complex, the Weizmann Institute of Science, which runs the clandestine nuclear program, the Bazan oil refinery. Oh, I mentioned that. A power station in Ashdod, the Rafael Advanced Defense Systems complex in Haifa, etc. Okay, so these targets were hit and some destroyed. And Iran is rearming right now, as Israel is also rapidly rearming for the second wave of this war. Now, what we learned from the 12-day war, and this has been confirmed by Colonel Douglas McGregor and many others, is that Israel cannot survive this ballistic missile exchange with Iran. Cannot survive. Well, an anonymous source from Tehran has reached out to RT, and RT published a story that says that Iran's next war with Israel will be the final one, the last war with Israel, because Israel will be destroyed, is the implication of this. Apparently, Iran is sitting on new generation missiles that they have not yet fired, and the 12-day war gave Iran a total blueprint of the weaknesses of Israel's so-called Iron Dome, or the, you know, the interdiction, the air interdiction of incoming missiles. And Iran has been able to figure out exactly how to bypass that, obviously, because they did effectively. They destroyed so many targets. So this source reached out to RT, said that, quote, Iran will make the next war with Israel its last war, and that the Islamic Republic of Iran still possesses tens of thousands of new generation missiles, and that it would fire at least hundreds of missiles each day at Israel, and that Iran would use this as a, quote, historic opportunity to permanently neutralize the Israeli regime's threat. So, you know, this guy, at least, or whoever this is talking like this is the end of Israel if this war starts up again. But according to what Dr. David Martin is saying there, it seems likely that there's going to be a massive false flag in America. And we know that, obviously, Mossad has run false flags before, you know, 9/11, USS Liberty, etc. And in this case, it's going to be a biological attack. It's going to kill hundreds of thousands of Americans, which would have to mean, by definition, that it's going to be released in a city or, you know, some major event. Like, what kind of event has hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, what comes to mind, obviously, would be Independence Day celebration in Washington, D.C., right? So, gosh, I hope that's not the target. You know, we don't, I mean, look, I'm always praying for peace. I don't want to see any of this stuff happen. And I hope it doesn't happen. And I'm not convinced that it will happen. I'm just covering this as something to consider. But if, let's just say, as a thought experiment, if Mossad were able to pull this off, to kill hundreds of thousands of Americans, blame it on Iran, then that would be the thing that convinces Trump and the American people to do what? Think about it. To do what? To nuke Iran. That would be America dropping or launching nuclear weapons onto Iran, which is what Israel wants us to do. Sure, Israel has nukes, too. They've got hundreds of illegal nukes, but they always would rather have America fight their wars for them, just like Trump did recently with the B-2 bombers and the so-called bunker busters, which turned out to be war theater. But if America is angry enough, seething from the aftermath of an attack, I mean, imagine 9/11 times 1,000. 9/11 times 1,000. Not just 3,000 people dead, but almost 300,000. Well, I guess that would be times 100, excuse me. 9/11 times 100. So almost 300,000 people dead. That would be, I mean, America would obviously be very emotional, very outraged. And if they could blame it on Iran, then that would be the moment that the American people demand blood. And historically, this is exactly the kind of situation that is engineered in order to emotionally, let's say, seduce people into supporting war. This is what happened with Pearl Harbor in World War II, when the Japanese were allowed to attack Pearl Harbor to kill some number of U.S. sailors on the ground and in the ships, and to, you know, a surprise attack. We have to go to war. And the American people were like, yeah, we got to get them back. And that's how we got into the war in the Pacific, by the way, because of Pearl Harbor. So essentially what David Martin is saying here is that there would be a kind of Pearl Harbor event on this Friday, he's supposing, that would kill hundreds of thousands of Americans and get the American people to fully back a war with Iran. And that the key architect behind all of this would, of course, be, well, Israel, the usual suspects. Now, it was supposed yesterday and the day before that mad shooter in Idaho may have had ties to Israel, but I haven't seen anything come out of that that's very strong in that regard. The sheriff of the county trained with Mossad and Shin Bet, but that's really not that unusual for sheriffs to train with Mossad. You know, there's a lot of cross-training of law enforcement from Israel and the United States. That by itself isn't a, you know, smoking gun. It doesn't mean the sheriff is involved in this. And it turned out that the shooter was some 20-year-old disgruntled nut job whose parents were all pro-MAGA, pro-Trump, you know, with the Trump hats and everything. But the kid, the 20-year-old kid, who was born in Russia, it turns out, at least that's what was reported, he was angry. He was always posting angry stuff all over social media. I don't know. Was he an MK Ultra? Maybe. But we don't have any evidence of that yet. We don't have any evidence linking him to Israel either. So that turned out to not be some kind of big false flag thing. Although firefighters and some sheriff's deputies died, and my prayers go out to all of them. It's an incredibly tragic and horrifying event for first responders to be shot. We pray for them and their families. But anyway, that's the overview of July 4th. Now, is Dr. David Martin right? I have no idea. Does that mean you should cancel your fireworks enjoyment family plan or whatever on Friday? No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't want you to live in fear. I want us to live with awareness, but not to be steeped in fear to the point where it prevents us from enjoying our lives. You know, if you live in fear every day, you'd never leave your house. You know, fear of traffic accidents or whatever. So, you know, put on a seatbelt, get a car with some airbags, and go out and buy some groceries or whatever floats your boat. Go to the driving range and, you know, shoot some golf balls out there. See if you can get them close to the holes. I don't know. July 4th, I say enjoy it and also be on alert. Be on alert, obviously. Have your head on a swivel, as they say. Watch for weird stuff. You know, have a plan to egress the area. Do you know where the exits are? You know, can you drive out of an area? You know, just basic common sense. And look, if you're ultra paranoid about what might happen on July 4th, you know, bring a gas mask with you, like a fully a functioning full face gas mask. And I'm not saying to wear it while you're watching the fireworks. That would be very bizarre. I'm just saying, like, have it in your go bag in your car. If something happened and you needed to get out and you wanted to protect yourself from an airborne attack vector, well, that would be one way to do it. And probably you just end up with that mask sitting in the car in your go bag the whole time. Don't go walking around July 4th with a gas mask on. You're probably going to get the sheriff called on you if you do that. And they're going to ask you a lot of weird questions. Like, what are you doing with a gas mask walking around out here? And your answer would be, because they can't hear you through the gas mask. So they'll rip it off your face and then throw you in the slammer. And that won't protect you from biological weapons, will it? So just be cool, everybody. Be cool. Now, if you're preparing for unexpected events, yeah, obviously you have a satellite phone, you know, backup communications, because the cell towers would be overloaded if everybody's trying to make a call at the same time. So sure, yeah, have your satellite phone. If it's legal, you know, have a firearm, you know, have your Glock and your, I don't know, whatever, your super duper AR with the super fast trigger for self-defense or whatever is legal for you to have, you know, obviously just be prepared. But that goes for every day. That's not just, you know, July 4th. And, you know, don't run around looking suspicious, because I would imagine that, you know, like Homeland Security and the feds and the FBI and everybody's going to be, you know, putting undercover agents into crowds all over the place. And they're going to be looking for weird looking people that stand out, i.e. people wearing gas masks or, you know, people that have like rifles sticking out of backpacks and things like that. So don't be that idiot, right? You know, be cool. Don't bring guns to a fireworks show, you know, like leave them in your vehicle, but only where legal, you know, check your local laws, etc. So just be chill. Don't be showing up with like body armor and a gas mask. I'm just here to watch the fireworks. With body armor? What? What are you expecting to happen? All right, so American culture for you there, right? All right, let's move on to Japan. Now, there's a Japanese artist, and I'm going to try to explain this as best I can. I'm not the expert on this, but you're familiar with the art form in Japan called manga? I think sometimes people pronounce it manga, but I think it's manga. I don't know. But it's basically really high-end illustrative art. You know, they're not comics. These are graphic novels. You know, this is a highly evolved art form in Japan, and it's popular in other Asian countries as well, like, you know, Taiwan, Korea, Thailand, even in China, etc. Now, Vietnam, etc. So there's a manga artist, a woman, I don't recall her name, but back in the 1990s, she started recording her very, very vivid dreams about natural disasters that were going to take place. And as I understand it, she accurately predicted the 1995 devastating earthquake in Kobe, Japan, that I think killed something like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And I believe, at least my understanding is, she also accurately predicted the Fukushima disaster, which I think was in 2011. So, of course, the Fukushima disaster was started by an offshore underwater earthquake near Japan, which, of course, sits on the Ring of Fire of plate tectonics. this giant ring around essentially the Pacific Ocean that goes all the way from Japan and Eastern Asia all the way, you know, north through, well, Russia, Alaska, back around the western edge of Canada, the west coast of the United States through California, etc. It's all part of the so-called Ring of Fire. And when that went off at the Fukushima disaster, it unleashed this massive tsunami, which is a Japanese word, by the way. Tsunami. That, like, the origin of that word is Japanese, in case you're wondering. Tsunami struck land there at Fukushima and then, of course, blew out the power generators and the backup batteries of the Fukushima power plant, which was built by General Electric, an American company, that clearly fudged a bunch of the site research and evaluation to falsely claim that, yeah, it's safe to build, you know, six nuclear power plants right here. Obviously, it was not safe to do so. So somebody lied to Japan about that, but that's a different story. And then, of course, Japan suffered an atrocious, you know, cataclysm of radiation because the Fukushima, one of the plants, had a meltdown, which was covered up immediately by the Japanese government and the Western government because it was a Western company that built the power plant, right? I don't have to go into all these details. The point is, this woman, this artist or prophet, I don't know how she wants to be called, she had foreseen this and she had illustrated it, and she's credited with calling that accurately. Well, then, she says, and she has said this for many, many years. I don't know how many years this has been on the books. I think it's over a decade. But on July 5th, 2025, she says, there's going to be a cataclysm so enormous affecting Japan and much of Asia that it would make the Fukushima events look tiny by comparison. And she talks about a massive, a much larger tsunami. I think it's supposed to be three times larger, unless I may be reading this wrong. Some of you in Japan, you know much more than I do about this particular topic, so please excuse me if I'm getting any details incorrect. I know I have a lot of listeners in Japan, and I don't mean to get this wrong, so thank you for your understanding. But I have heard various interpretations of this prediction, and the one that's the most extreme that I have heard claims, and I don't know if the woman herself claimed this or if it's somebody else reading into it, but somebody has claimed that there's going to be, like, a brand new subcontinent is going to emerge out of the ocean, and there's going to be a new landmass that rises up and connects Japan and Taiwan and even all the way to the Philippines, plus, you know, Hong Kong and Eastern China. And I guess Taiwan and China would no longer be separated by water. That would have very large geopolitical implications right there, because Taiwan would have no defense against China. But everybody would be, of course, economically devastated in the region if this amount of energy were unleashed. So I personally, I don't think that's going to happen on this Saturday, but I'm telling you that this prophecy is so strong in Japanese culture and Taiwan culture, Chinese culture, etc., that tourism to Japan has plummeted for the entire month of July. Seriously, you can call up tourism companies in Japan. They've got nobody coming, because nobody wants to be there when this big prediction might happen. And you've also got people leaving Taiwan for the whole month of July. You've got people leaving parts of Asia because they believe that this is a very real possibility. Devastating earthquake, changes in land masses, you know, something that would echo around the world. Now, if a new landmass were to just suddenly emerge, well, let me back up and say that I do believe, geologically speaking, I do believe in the concept of catastrophism, which is that mountain ranges that we see right now, for example, like the Himalayan mountains, or I don't know, what are some mountain ranges near Yellowstone National Park? All those mountains. I mean, those are the Grand Teton Mountains. There's all kinds of mountains all over the world. These appear very rapidly because they are shoved into the air in minutes. They're not created. Mountain ranges are not created over long, drawn-out processes. They are slowly eroded over millions of years, yes, but they are created in minutes when the earth, the tectonic plates crunch and shove and bolt, and one plate bolts up while another plate goes underneath it, and the top plate lurches up, and boom, you have a whole new mountain range. And that can happen in minutes. And the amount of energy that is unleashed in those events, of course, is larger than multiple nuclear warheads, right? And if this happens in the ocean, the Pacific Ocean here, you got to understand that the waves from this event, which travel faster than the speed of sound, just wave physics in water, especially seawater, the waves travel, I think a little bit faster than the speed of sound. Those waves would crash onto the west coast of the United States with devastating results across LA and the west coast ports and, anything that's exposed from Mexico all the way up to Canada, Alaska, and anywhere, the Hawaiian Islands, Fiji, you name it, right? Anything that's in the Pacific would be hit with just unimaginable tsunami waves that would be just devastating just all over. So it wouldn't just be Asia that would be, really rattled, and maybe buildings leveled and skyscrapers would be toppled and economies would be destroyed, etc. It's not just that. It's that the tsunami waves would also devastate other regions all over the world, including, by the way, South America. So, think about like the western coast of Ecuador or even Central American nations, etc. They would all get hit with this wave action. So this would have rapid economic devastation globally if this were to happen. Now, if you talk to conventional geologists, however, they would say, well, this isn't possible, that the plate tectonics don't work that way. But also, a lot of conventional geologists, they don't believe in catastrophism. Their theories of how mountains are formed don't really make any sense to me. They think they're formed slowly. And although that could be true in some areas with slow plate tectonics, like plates sliding, they don't believe that anything ever happens all of a sudden, except, of course, volcanoes. And yes, some mountain ranges are created by volcanoes. And same thing with the Hawaiian Islands, obviously, giant underwater volcanoes that end up creating islands. So we get that. Yeah, we understand. And there's, the Cascadia Range in the Northwest, and we've got Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens, which blew itself up back in the 80s, I believe. So, yeah, I get it. But a typical geologist will tell you that this scenario, this prediction for Saturday, July 5th, is total nonsense. And they'll have scientific reasons for that. And I'm not a geologist, but I'm sure they have very reasoned arguments. So I'm not here disagreeing with the geologists on this point. But I want to bring in something else. And as you know, highly emotional events are encoded in morphic fields, which is a kind of it's a kind of cosmic information storage center, like cloud computing or cloud storage. And morphic fields resonate across time. And in fact, I just showed you an experiment a few weeks ago proving to you that this is absolutely true. Remember when I created a slide where I froze liquid xylitol and had it form physical 3D crystalline paintings or images. And then under the microscope, I snapped those images and I showed you those images. And I've shown you these many times. One of the images shows in meticulous detail in fact, let me have my editor put it up. This is the bombing of Tel Aviv, which happened now two Saturdays ago. The bombing of Tel Aviv, on the left is the real event that happened according to a popular video. On the right is the image on my xylitol slide that I published on June 2nd, nearly 2 weeks before the event actually happened. And I showed you many other examples of this on the slide. So I was able to demonstrate for you just last month that, in fact, events that are yet to occur can have such strong emotional impact that they are encoded across time and space. You know, quantum realities, right? The multiverse, all of that. Understanding that our consciousness transcends this world. And this is why some people who are intuitives, they can tap into the powerful emotional impact of potential future events or likely future events. And that's what was happening on my slides, because I was writing prompts on the slides about war in the Middle East. I've shown you that in great detail. And I also showed you an image of the F-14 Tomcat that was on the runway that Israel then bombed 2 weeks later. In fact, let's show that image side by side, the F-14 Tomcat from satellite versus the one that I saw under my microscope, which I've shown you this image as well, and many other images from that slide. So we know that the future is encoded into morphic fields that can be tapped into by certain people who are especially tuned in to, let's say, emotional energy or psychic energy. And those people throughout history have been called prophets or seers or sometimes, gods or demigods or whatever. And of course, all throughout history, there have also been plenty of people who faked like they could see the future, but who really couldn't. They just didn't want to do any other honest work. So they're like, let's fake like we can read the stars and tell the future, right? There's a lot of those, obviously. But throughout time, there were a few people who really could see the future. Even in America, there are accounts of people who would have the same dream for hundreds of nights in a row about an airplane crashing in a very certain airport with the plane turning over and how many people dying, etc. And they would even warn the airport. They kept having this dream over and over again. And then that dream came true. And that plane crashed just like they saw. And it killed hundreds of people just like they saw. So the reason I'm saying this is because it is plausible that this manga prophet, this woman, it's plausible that she was tapping into a future event that could have given her the date, which is this Saturday. I'm not saying that I endorse her her prediction, because I have not seen such a thing happen on July 5th, and I'm not even trying to. I'm actually still scanning my slide with the crystals about the Middle East, but because it's, I didn't realize how big of a project I accidentally created for myself because the slide is so huge. I should have used less xylitol and it would have been easier to wrap up. But maybe this woman really can see the future, and then she could name a date and the geology wouldn't really matter. Maybe something happens that geologists can't predict or model or understand, or there's some new intervention, or something happens beyond our explanation, something, you know, God's intervention or something. Maybe God's doing another great deluge, you know. Maybe God's going to flood the earth and rid the earth of insanity. Well, if that were the case, he should start with Washington, D.C., I think. But for whatever reason, maybe he's going to do it near Japan. I don't know. I'm just saying there are a lot of different explanations for this. So Does that mean that you should cancel your plans for July 5th? No, I'm not saying that. But if I were in Asia, I would definitely have a bug out bag on July 5th. You know, I would have a plan, but then again, I have a plan every day. But certainly for that day, I would have a plan for, you know, extra food, extra water, satellite phones. You know, a satellite phone store is SAT123.com. If you want to get your satellite phone squared away, they can ship them to you overnight if you request it. By the way, you can get them before Saturday if you call them right now, SAT123.com. Just go there. And they've got two-way text messaging devices that are also powered by satellite. All you have to do is have a clear view of the sky, and you can send and receive messages and make phone calls. And they've got bandwidth solutions and solar generators and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I would have a plan. I would prepare for the possibility of flooding. I mean, there's been severe flooding in China over this last week in certain regions. It's been really catastrophic. The Western media hasn't covered it much, though. But I'd be prepared for flooding. I'd be prepared for power grid failures. I would be prepared for, I don't know, new continents to appear. If new continents appear, do you realize how quickly China would move to claim the new continent? They would be like, it's ours, you know? And they, like, as soon as the dust settled, they'd be rolling tanks in there, like planting Chinese flags, right? This is ours. There'd probably be fights over the new continent, obviously, because who knows what riches it would bring with it, what natural resources, I mean, after they rebuild from all the damage. Because how strong would an earthquake like that actually be, you know, on the Richter scale? I mean, I'm not an expert on the Richter scale. I do know it's logarithmic, which is more than most people seem to know, but I'm guessing that's like a 10 on the Richter scale. Yeah. Like a new continent just lurches up out of the ocean. That's a 10, I think. That's my guess. Some of you geological scientists out there, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You're like, no, it's 9.7. Okay, I think it's a 10. Because what was the Kobe, Japan earthquake? Was that like a 7.9 or something? Man, I'm going to look that up because I'm just going from memory. Let me look it up. Okay, here it is. The Kobe earthquake measured 7.2 on the Richter. Hey, I wasn't that far off. I mean, even though it is logarithmic, but I was in the right order of magnitude, I suppose. 7.2. That was Kobe. Okay, on the Richter scale. So a 10 on the Richter scale is pretty crazy. So given that it is a logarithmic scale, base 10, you should understand that a 10.0 on the Richter scale has 1,000 times more energy than a 7.0, okay? So 1,000 times more energy. Well, hey, if a whole new continent appears or a subcontinent, you know, it would be really something. That kind of event, if it were to happen, you wouldn't have to worry about Trump's big, beautiful bill because the economy would be toast, probably. And also, Japan's currency, the yen, would probably collapse because it's already on the rocks. Japan's central bank is in trouble. You know, its debt to GDP ratio is, of course, insane. And the, you know, the dollar-yen carry trade is already unraveling. It would get a whole lot worse, etc. So, you know, geological events can unleash economic devastation, which leads to geopolitical resets. And it does make you wonder, though, is there a technology that's possessed by sort of globalists or the technocrats or the breakaway civilization people? Do they have technology to accurately predict the time and day of these massive events that they know will result in a great reset? Like, is this the big one that they could use to sweep all their debt and all their crimes under the rug while causing your dollar value to vanish? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But I say be prepared just in case. You know, have gold, have backup plans, have, you know, storable food, the whole deal, just in case. All right, so that's the bottom line there, folks. July 4th and July 5th, those are the predictions from sort of the Western point of view on July 4th, and then the Asian point of view on July 5th. But just to be clear, not all Asian people agree with the July 5th prophecy, obviously. And again, I'm not even saying I do. I'm just saying be aware, be prepared just in case. So with that said, hey, enjoy your July 4th, you know, enjoy the fireworks. Don't let any of this take away from your enjoyment. You know, have time with family, recharge, have a barbecue. You know, try not to burn your eyebrows off with a gasoline fire on your grill. You know, just have fun and be cool. And probably we'll get through this and none of this stuff will happen. Most likely. And then, you know, we'll be next week, Monday morning. Hey, we're all still here. Guess what? Now we have to deal with freaking Senate again. Jeez. Some people are like, would have been better if, you know, if the world ended on Saturday, now we got to deal with the Senate, you know, some people. Got to have a sense of humor about all this, too. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. And if you want to check out all of my information, of course, I'm on Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. And our new AI engine, Enoch, will be released at the same time that the world ends on Friday. So just perfect timing. It couldn't be better. All right. That's at brighteon.ai if you want to check it out. It's releasing this week. So enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So, of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder. Certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that. E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high-quality, ultra-clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super-potent antioxidant. And it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark a bottle because it's sensitive to light, but it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO. And we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff. Nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.